Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
At the races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, trending topic, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, 22 into hour three. So we got, 35 minutes? Yeah, 35 minutes or so. And Seth's are going to get Seth in first, which buys me some time to dig up John Dooley or Rachel or maybe even Eric. I haven't talked to Eric, actually, since the visit to Indy in July, since Indiana Derby week, which was so much fun. While we wait for Seth, he needs a minute or two. Let me give you the dollars and cents. It wasn't a financial windfall, but it was okay, actually. The $4 pick three that Dick laid out came back 158.80. That's for the $4. So it was $2, the 79, I think it was 79, and you get the Conso too, actually. The Conso kicked in another $16, so $175 basically. 108 in, 175 out. So better than a sharp stick in the eye, as they say. Which, I wonder how did that saying ever materialize? who thought of that? Seth is famous for all kinds of great sayings, you know, that have become institutionalized. You know, there's nature nurture, right? Nature nurture. One of our boots on the ground. But Seth, what do you think the origin story is behind better than a sharp stick in the eye?
Better than a sharp stick. Well, I didn't come up with nature and nurture. I mean, that's a thing. And sharp stick in the eye has been around for years. I don't know. Do you know the origin?
No. I mean, maybe it's like a bayonet. I don't. That's today's assignment. We're going to.
Well, clearly, many things are better than a sharp stick in the eye, though. So it works in many situations. And I will give you. I have to give you credit. I was listening earlier. I always love the obscure reference, and I can't let it pass without giving you a tip of the cap when referring to the owl as Helen Hayes in the Air Force. I thought that very good. Very good. I like that one.
That one of the great roles of her amazing career. And for those that have never, you know, there's probably more people listening that have seen Airplane 100 times and don't realize why Airplane is so funny. The reason Airplane is so funny is because you have to go watch Airport. with Burt Lancaster and George Kennedy and everybody, Helen Hayes and Dean Martin and Jackie Bisset. And I mean, if you've never seen Airport, you should really, or if you haven't read the Haley wrote the novel, right? He wrote all those stupid novels,
yeah.
Hotel, Airport, you know, Gas Station. What else did he have?
Grocery Store. It was a whole series.
Cobbler.
And they used to, you're right, though, they used to be on TV all the time because they were, like, super popular, but I think they're now a little bit of an anachronism. So, yeah, I haven't seen Airport on TV in years.
Well, let me say, 1970, and all the characterizations that are there, and in fact, here is the list. Listen to this lineup. My favorite actor of all time, Burt Lancaster, of course, who plays the, you know, the
Birdman of Alcatraz. That was a great Lancaster role.
Well, there's no better Burt Lancaster. Well, there's so many. Sweet Smell of Success, of course. J.J. Hunsaker,
oh, sure.
Elmer Gantry. For those that have never, if you haven't read the incredible book. But the film is just...
Oh, Jim Thorpe. Jim Thorpe.
Jim Thorpe, America, All-American.
Yeah.
You name it.
Yeah.
You know, Leighton is... There are some Burt Lancaster films that are a little more obscure. His roles in the 60s as taciturn CIA agent type characters, he had a ton of those.
Oh, 7 Days in May is one of my all-time favorite movies, where he plays the general.
Yeah. Well, that's a different that's kind of a different thing. But he was in a film called we're skipping over From Here to Eternity,
yeah.
Which is a big mistake. There was a movie called was it just called Scorpio? Where he's a CIA agent that is out of this world, and it's one of those quiet, like a Costa Gravis, for those that are film buffs, you know, those quiet, more like the Smiley, Smiley's people and Tinker Tailor in that vein, rather than, you know, shoot 'em ups. What about Gunfight at the OK Corral? Unbelievable. Anyway, so the whole point of this is, and I'm still not finding the movie that I'm thinking of. Is it The Scorpio Man? I'll find it. Airport, Burt Lancaster, Dean Martin, Gene Seberg, Jackie Bisset, George Kennedy, Helen Hayes, Van Heflin as the nervous bomber, Maureen Stapleton, Barry Nelson, Lloyd Nolan, Dana Winter, and Barbara Hale. Unbelievable. It is absolutely great, from the Arthur Haley novel, Airport.
And that's what, there was a whole string, and Airport may have started it, of those kind of star vehicles, which then switched into the Irwin Allen, the disaster movies.
That,
they would then have also that list of that lineup of the huge stars. There was a whole period where that was a thing. They would just top load it with big names.
The towering Inferno being the ultimate Irwin Allen production. You know what was always great, and again, this is typically for boys of a certain age, the Mad Magazine parodies of those movies.
It's a Mad Magazine where you, in the last page, you folded the last page to complete the comic.
Well, it's funny. I don't remember that per se, but I think I vaguely do. But the movie parodies were always
the
highlight, and Spy versus Spy. which is still great. You can find online. But anyway, Airport, thank you for that.
And I have to, before we get back to horse racing, I also have to ask, as you were talking to Joe, I'm guessing this is a Philly thing, another food item that you brought to my attention I've never heard of. What is water ice?
Well, first of all, the proper pronunciation is water, W-O-O-D-E-R, water ice.
Okay.
It's water ice, but anybody with a Philadelphia accent is going to say water ice. it's like Italian, it's Italian ice, essentially. I mean,
okay.
It's no different than Italian ice. Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. I've never heard that way before.
It's a very, very Philly-centric water ice.
I like it better with the accent.
Water. By the way, the Helen Hayes character, Ada Quonset was her name. Ada Quonset. Unbelievable. So great. So great. And Bert was Mel Bakersfield. Unbelievable. It's so much fun. Oh, my God. Too funny. Mr. Guerrero, this is great.
As I say, I appreciated the reference to the owl and Helen Hayes. That was very good.
For folks who don't get it now,
you got to go watch the movie.
Exactly. That's what I'm promoting here. And while we're promoting things, let me also promote the Make-A-Wish Day tomorrow at Keeneland. And this, of course, has come into focus when we think about Cody's Wish and what that has produced. But it's the 15th year tomorrow at Keeneland. And there are basically every race, there is going to be kids being honored. And you've got a total of 11 children that are having a wish granted through the Make-A-Wish Foundation and the support it receives from everybody around racing. And that includes Airdrie, Coolmore, Flaxman Holdings, the Frizzy Foundation, Gainesway, Godolphin, Haggard, Keeneland itself, the Klein family, Richard and family, and the Family Foundation, Lane's End, Rudin Riddle, Spendthrift, Commonwealth, Credit Union, Claiborne, Denali Stud, Mike and Kim Dudgeon, Malam Farm, and Stone Street. And these are the kids. Boone, who's 4 years old from Barberville, and Charlie, who's 3 from Lexington, Elliot from Mount Sterling, he's 6, Jackson, who's an 18-year-old from Paris, Luke, 13 from Carlisle, Thomas from Lexington, he's 17, Cassidy, 13 from Crestwood, Colin, an 11-year-old from Shelbyville, Ezekiel, 6 from Harrodsburg, Karis, 17 from Georgetown, and Rusty, 6 years old from Caddysburg. So hope all the kids and their families have a special day tomorrow at Keeneland and the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And for more information, oki.wish.org/Keeneland. And they do such a great job. Faith Hacker, who coordinates all the media and all the information for Make-A-Wish tomorrow back at Keeneland for the 15th year.
Yeah, great charity. And it's always good when a racetrack like a Keeneland or Saratoga with military days and first responder days and some of the charity days as well, you know, when they recognize, hey, we get big crowds in here and we can kind of use that in other ways rather than just trying to get the betting money. We can push some other, you know, socially effective things as well, like these charity days. So it's nice to see that happen down at Keeneland.
Well, and as always, the interactivity of this show continues to grow. And Joe Vellante, everybody, and of course, you hear Joe with EPO Equine. And Joe declares that John's Water Ice on 7th and Christian is the flight line of water ice. And I countered with Pops because, you know, that's the water ice, the official water ice of Johnny D. And Johnny, of course, Johnny grew up, you know, 7 steps out his front door from Pops. But, boy, Joe is swearing by John's Water Ice 7th and Christian. So those of you next time in to the Illadelph, there you go, John's Water Ice. Or Pops, you can compare the two. We have got to handicap some races here, Seth. I promise people the handicapping stylings of Mr. Seth Merrow. And in fact, folks, not only that, Seth is also going to meet people later at Stewart's to buy them a chili dog. Not the pizza. Not the pizza.
Chuck, well, I was about to add, I don't think the pizza is bad. I was about to add to that.
Oh,
threat.
My
I don't
God!
Think,
I
don't think Stewart's pizza is bad.
Unbelievable. You've got to stop.
I mean, I've had better, but I don't think it's bad.
I don't know what we're going to do. It's unbelievable, folks. He's going for chili dogs and slices. Let me tell you something. In my entire life, and I'm 62 years old, and I travel, and if I was to add up my mileage, I guarantee you, I'm probably in the 2 million mile range, easily. I have never bought a slice of pizza at a convenience store, not even anything resembling a convenience store.
It's normally I would go with that, but they have started. I mean, they bake it fresh. I mean, it comes out fresh. So normally I would agree with you. I mean, for years and years, you drive on the thruway and they had those. I mean, nowadays they're like chains on the thruway rest stops, but it used to be the thruway ran the rest stop, and you walked in and you looked at this the sandwiches and the things they had in the counter. Yeah, those were not, I was not. So there were years and years where I was right with you, but convenience stores have upped their game a little bit, I think.
No, there's no doubt, and then since we're talking Philadelphia, I mean, Wawa is in their own arena, and then you're talking about places like, there's like this Buc-ee's that's become a big deal. I'm sure there are some very credible, ones, but I would rather seek out a local pizza joint and I don't care. I'll sit there for 25 minutes and order one fresh. It's a sacrilege. I mean, I come from close to New Haven, Connecticut, which is, ground zero for pizza in America. And I just can't. I can't justify.
I like good pizza from a good pizza joint, but I'm just saying, not bad. Quick lunch, you're in there. They got one fresh, so I'll get a slice. It's like the chili dog. It's not the best of all time, but you get a quick lunch, and I just want people to know you're thinking convenience store hot dog with a little meat. The meat sauce is very good at Stewart's, so I'm throwing it out there. Before we get off Burr Lancaster on the horse racing, I had thought of this coincidentally probably 5 days ago. I was out for a walk in the park, and I don't know, I thought of the Burt Lancaster movie. Have you ever seen The Swimmer, which has to be one of the weirdest movies of all time?
Seth. Okay, for starters, you may want to read the Updike short story. That's number one. That first appeared in New Yorker, and in fact, they ran it this summer. Actually, The Swimmer is one of the most important short stories. It may not rank up there with The Lottery, but it's one of the most affecting short stories of its kind, and the film is devastating and can't be watched too often, to be honest. It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite Lancaster roles, obviously, and watch for a cameo or a small role by Joan Rivers. The Swimmer is an incredibly powerful story and allegory and a million other things.
I would give it to the short story. I'm not sure it translated the film, but I will defer to other, everybody can have their own opinion.
Of both cinema and chili dogs.
Correct.
wow. This is going to be one of the most memorable Seth Merrow appearances of all time. We have traversed. Wow. boy, oh boy. All right, we got to go this pick four because I got to get to Rachel. Rachel's going to come visit, and that'll be a perfect cap to today, a Rachel McLaughlin visit. So let's start with this first level allowance going a mile on the turf, Seth, and scratch Mazuma out of here, as well as the AE Catnip, who was a consideration should that one have drawn in. So we're sending a field of 11 postward.
Yeah, I had both of them in my mix. I had Mazuma on top. So I'm left with the 6-4 and the 7. Now I'm using all those in the pick. 6-4 and I might pull in the 12 as well. I guess it would just depend on how much you want to spend on the ticket. But I'll use Martini Moonshine on top for Tommy Amos. A couple of starts so far this year. Nice improvement. Start 1 to start 2. Might have this one prime. Comes over from Kentucky Downs. That's a little bit of a bonus as well. So I'll use that one on top. I'll put Policy Option in the second spot. Tried the dirt last time. It gets back to the turf. The two turf races just prior were pretty good. And then Baj in the third spot. Another one. Third start back from a little bit of a layoff off a couple of improving efforts. Broke the maiden last time, but just seems to, over the past couple of starts, be a little bit improved. So I'll use those three, but as I say, number 12, Master of the Ring, I might pull that one in as well. So definitely those 6-4 and 7.
6-4 and 7 for Seth, and I actually shunted Martini and Moonshine down. This thing feels to me like you want every price you can conceive of in here, and for me, two birds for Jeff Hiles off that step forward on the turf, and then I'm using Policy Option and Script, who Graham Motion talked to us about yesterday. A very good race, and don't be shy to play around there. How about the maiden race, this sixth race?
I have a 3-6, 11, 4, and a 7. This is a fun race. I'm going to use the 3-6 and the 11, though. I'll use those three. Diamonds, If You Do, on top. First-time starter by Nyquist. Paid a lot of money. Worked 10 flat before the sale. Has a 46 and change bull of workout coming into this. Sibling called Inflation Adjusted. That was third in debut. Then won the second start, then seventh, and won the fourth start of the career. So won two out of the first four starts. So a little bit of win early there. The nice workout, the price. I'll go Diamonds If You Do, the three on top. Mija from Todd Stone Street off a dud in debut. Went off at 7-5, though. There's a sibling called Alejandro that took 8 to win, but in those first 8 starts, a win, 4 second place finishes, and a third place finish. It might have been a salty debut up at Saratoga. The second, third place finisher came back to win. The last place finisher came back to run second in a follow-up at Churchill. So I'm interested to see what this one can do. Irod Ortiz on board, and then I'll use the Alley's Look in the third spot. There's only one sibling. It's called Leave It to Be, 0-4, so I wasn't sure about the siblings, but there's some workouts underneath that say this one could be interesting in debut for Brad Cox, so I want to throw it in and hope maybe for a little bit of a price. So, again, I'll use the 3-6 and the 11.
We talked about Diamonds If You Do with Graham yesterday. Sure feels poised for a race. I'm not going to argue with Mija, of course. The Alley's Look, I know that Marcus and Marty are all over that one. I don't think that one necessarily has to be fast early or win early. I'm using Harmonica from Tommy Drury, who looks live as can be, and the same with Dallas. I talked about Soul Titles Ready. Might be a turf horse down the road, but I don't know. The siblings were fast on the main track early, fast enough to win. How about the first level allowance, 7th, going a mile and a 16th? These are two-year-olds, a rare circumstance of two-year-olds going long, and this is Frank. You can scratch Frank's Honor, the 3 from McPeak and Carmel Road, who ran the other day for Baffert, the 8, and Counterspy does not get in. The 13th, I could have, but doesn't run.
I had it 1, 8, 3, and 2, but the 8 and the 3 are out, so I'll use the 1 and the 2. Could be interested to see how it shakes out odds-wise. Obviously, Morning Line was saying this is wide open with the 4-1 favorite, Frank's Honor. being scratched. So we're getting 8-1, as I say, interested to see now it scratches, how it shakes out. But the Pletcher runner tried some of those restricted maiden specials, you know, restricted to the auction price, paid $47,000 for this one at auction. First three starts were pretty good. They were improving. Horse seemed to kind of be catching on and won really nicely last time, Belmont at Aqueduct, middle of September. And off of those three, moving in the right direction, light bulb seemed to turn on last time. I'll use that one, and I'll throw Bourbon Spirit in as well. Broke the maiden in the career debut at Ellison, and they got ambitious and tried the Sapling at Monmouth, stretching to a mile in the second start. Ran second, so I thought it was a good effort, you know, with an ambitious placing. I put that one in the mix, off some nice workouts, too. So I used the 1 and the 2 in the seventh.
I've got no problem with the 1. The horse that I'm going to key off, though, is the 7, American Blaze for Ben Colebrook, a Gary and Mary West, American Freedom, an OBS purchase by Terry Hamilton and Murray House, and coming in off of a bullet, and ran a race at Ellis in restricted company that won by 17 lengths. I'm all over American Blaze at 8-1, and the Nightcap, a mile on the turf. Real quick.
I'm going to use 4 in here. I have a 3, 10, 5, and 8. I'll use all of those. Rhetoric on top for Brendan Walsh. Now for Brendan Walsh. I've been out with Bob Baffert in Southern California. I think he's kind of live. Axelm, I think, can be a player. I will say, won the maiden last time down at Kentucky Downs. Horse that ran second, though, Growth Capital. A little bit of a bridesmaid, 4 seconds and 5 starts. So I'm not sure what to make of that exactly, but I still think off of that I have to put the Sappy Joseph runner in the mix. Bay Street Money comes in off a race up at Saratoga at the end of July, so a little bit of a layoff, but moves into the Mike Maker barn. Corrales on board. He was the leader at Ellis this year. Limited starts, but doing well at the Keeneland also. And then Great Heart gets in also from a nice try at Kentucky Downs last time. So 3, 10, 5, and 8, or in chronological order, 3, 5, 8, and 10 for me in the finale.
Seth Merrow, everybody, you'll be on television today?
No, I'm taking the holiday today because Monday was my day off, so I'm taking the holiday today.
Wow. It's a rare, that's a rarity. Seth Merrow taking time away from his busy role entertaining the Capital District and beyond.
We try. We do our best.
All right, well, then how many, here's a chance actually to tour a bunch of Stewarts in the area and press the flesh with the public.
Yeah, that's the lunch agenda today. A little hot dog for lunch, pizza for dinner.
Perfect. And in fact, you know what? Stewarts, you may get a call. The call is coming from Stewarts management to put you on the payroll to, you know, how much fun would that be? Meet Seth Merrow.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, I could be the new whatever her name was. Now I've forgotten her name. Who used to do it. Yeah, those commercials have disappeared. Even.
I have no idea who you're talking about. Seth Merrow, everybody, and a vintage, outstanding appearance by Seth today. I will send you the link. I will send you the link to the Updike story, The Swimmer, which you should read.
Very good. I will.
All right. About Ned. All right. Seth Merrow, folks. Rachel McLaughlin is going to join us for the last 10 minutes, and we'll get there at least the last 7 minutes or 8 minutes. And let me pull out the horseshoe action. Here we go. Races 6 and 7 are the stakes, but the whole card is very good, and there's lots of... lots of big, full fields. The racing has been just dynamite at Horseshoe. And, you know, those of you, obviously people are playing on a regular basis because the handle numbers are through the roof. So we'll get a hello in from Rachel. This has been overdue. And somehow, in fact, it occurs to me now, I broadcast, 2 days at Indiana? And we didn't get a chance to have Rachel on the show live. All right, so we'll do that next time. The ITOBA Stallion Season Stakes go as the 6th and the 7th. And should mention, in fact, in advance of Rachel joining us, that the ITOBA fall mix sale is on Saturday, 1 o'clock. So online bidding and the catalog available. Livestock.com, Willoughby Sales, the ITOBA fall mix sale Saturday. Rachel, good morning. You feeling okay?
I'm feeling all right today. It's the second day, which I always hate, worse than the first of a cold. You know what I mean? But I'm going to, Jimmy Mack's coming in today, so hopefully I'll save my voice for these stakes races we have later.
Well, and that's all we're going to talk about. And, you know, the racing has been just terrific. And you look at this card, the two stakes as the 6th and the 7th, but, you know, big full fields virtually throughout, you know, 6 by 8 by 11 by 9 by 11 by 9 by 12 by 10 by 10. So multi-race type players should be, you know, very encouraged to look at these cards. Let's talk about the fillies first. They're going to go a mile, and we're going to scratch Doc Gorham. Sweep and Justice, the 6 comes out.
Yeah, you know, Nine Horse Field here is really good, and I'm so glad to hear you mentioning the sale this weekend. I've been pushing and pushing and pushing through a really nice deal I have with Breed Development, the great options that our, you know, Indiana breeding program have. I hear so many people saying how great it is. So anyone out there, the sale this weekend, I'll be there. It's going to be a great time to be covering it. But these fillies, I mean, wow. I'm going to go with the 3 here, I think, on top in this field. Gary Patrick bred and trained filly by Notional. So I think the 2 obviously is probably going to get some action, but they really both have kind of the same speed figures that they've been putting up. And they've both been kind of on form in these allowances at a mile and 70. Now, No More Fake News ran in this race. Or in a similar race, one of the Indiana bred stakes, and it was a sloppy track, and it was sprinting. So no doubt that No More Fake News is going to look good here. So we've got a Gary Patrick couple. Deshaun just won for him Monday, and again once last week for Gary. Really nice couple of fillies here. And then I went with the 8 and the 9. I found a little bit more of price in the next one. But Michelle Elliott and Gage Holmes team up here. This one, Gage rode to the maiden breaking win, as you can see, then won in an 11. And then last time was grass. They tried grass, and I talked to Michelle. She said she just did not like the grass. And they're looking for a really big effort for her getting routing on the dirt. She thinks that she likes the mile. But she's going to like the mile a little bit more than a mile and 16. She's got a sharp work coming into this. You know, she's returning to dirt, and she's got that nice quick speed to get out of the gate. And then I rounded out with Holy Justice, Gennaro Garcia, our leading jockey, Marcelino Pedroza. This one, I don't know what to do with him or her because she's been kind of competitive, you know, in stakes before, but not recently. But all Gennaro's done is put her in stakes races this year. I mean, look at that. She's been in the Swifty Sired, Hoosier Breeder Sophomore, Ellen's Lucky Star. She did okay in the Ellen's Lucky Star, a mile on the turf. A mile on the dirt, though, is a little bit, you know, different of a story. She's only ran out a couple times and never finished the money. But I think that this is one of the easier stakes that she's been in. She was only beaten a length and a half her 5th in the last start. That was a really tough stakes, that Hoosier Breeder Heartland. So she's making a little bit less than a month turnaround here. Holy Justice, I'm going to round it out. Just that nice speed figure that's a little is comparable to the other two.
The only horse at a price that I thought was mildly interesting, and so for Rachel, it's 3, 2, 8, 9. The one horse that I thought was a little intriguing, ZZ's Red, Antonio Duran, 8-1 with Santos Sanger, and coming off of a win, and has enough speed to be involved, and mm-hmm. might hang around. If you're looking for a price to include, let's talk about the boys, the Colts and Geldings. They go next, and you mentioned you thought there might be a price available in here.
Yeah, so here, let me get my computer's kind of being slow. Let me get down here to this one. Yeah, you know, there's a few in here that are pretty interesting to me. You know, I think the three is just going to get too much, and I don't think is worthy of that. That horse is nice, but I'm going to try to go a little bit different. I'm going to go with the five here on top, mm-hmm. and I thought Killer Hot Rod, the seven, would be a good one to round out my trifecta, because a little chalky, the last race is just how I saw that one. But this one, I'm going to go with Too Bad Justice on top. Matt, Jason, and Roger, the owners, are friends of mine. They love this horse. They're really excited to see him running this one. The Sagamore Sire Stakes was the first stakes win that they had had together as owners. And interviewing them was a lot of fun, you know, even though that was on the mud and sprinting. He's shown promise in these route races. I mean, last time out, that's why they ran him in that race, they said. They wanted to see what he did. They wanted to get him a tightener here close to this stakes race. And I don't normally pick my friends on top. It makes me nervous. I know, Steve, you've probably got a lot of people that tout their horses to you. You either figure out, and me being in Indiana for 12 years now, you know, I've made friends with all these people. Well, I know for
hard.
A fact which ones tout their horses, and they're not going to win. But then I know if someone else is quiet about their horse, like Michelle, if Michelle's real quiet and she shows up to the races dressed up, I'm like, she's going to win today. But it's just, I was a little nervous when they told me that. But when he ran well in that allowance going a mile and 70, I was like, okay, I think that he's fit for this race. I like the way he dueled. You know, he just missed it there by a couple lengths in the end. So, plus, Tim has been crushing it. He's been doing so well coming over from quarter horses. He's got some nice horses. He's a great trainer. He's 30% off the third off the layoff. So they've taken their time with this guy, and I think he's got a big shot today.
Makes sense.
The three Mansfield Tiger obviously is deserved. It's so funny. I got Gary going 1-2, and then Tim going 1-2. In this race as well, but he's got the early speed. He put up a 79 Brisbane speed figure last time in a mile 70. I mean, this one I get. I think that my top selection is just a little bit fitter. Sammy Bermudez had a hell of a last month, and then it's my buddies again. So, you know, I'm sticking with 1-2 with everybody else. So let's talk about my long shot. That's probably what everybody. I don't know if we're gonna get 12-1, but I like Killer Hot Rod here to sweeten it up. Bob Gorham and Shorty Perez get together really nicely. And I know you're thinking, oh my gosh, Rachel, why are you picking this horse? It's not ever won a race. But I'm not picking it to win. I look at this horse.
Underneath.
I mean, he's always second or third. I mean, he tries, and I don't think it's going to matter.
No, it's nothing wrong with that. We got to wrap up, but I don't disagree, and I do like Too Bad Justice. That race two back absolutely wins this race. Rachel McLaughlin joining us. I appreciate this. We'll be watching the show later, and a terrific card with the ITOBA stakes today for the Indiana Sires and the Stallion Seasons, and the sale on Saturday. Go over and get yourself an Indiana bred. Rachel, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Steve. No problem. Have a good day.
Rachel McLaughlin, everybody, and coming in a little under the weather, but she pulls it off. Seth Merrill earlier, Joe Clancy, and Sid, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale and Dick Cowell. We had a lot of fun. Dick Cash tickets. Hopefully Seth and I can help you too today with the action at Keeneland. I'll finish up, make the decisions, and put it up at the website shortly. Good luck today, everybody. Back tomorrow, Thursday, at the races here on SiriusXM. Good luck. 49, black sheep of the angels riding down the line. We think there is a soul. The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on SiriusXM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups.